very much, Minister, and thank you for helping remind us what should not change when we discuss transformation. Let's go a bit west now to Denmark, to Danish Defence Minister Søren Garde. Denmark is a very active participant in NATO's different operations and missions. Minister Garde, please, the floor is yours.
Mr. Secretary General, Sir Paul, Ministers, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I would like to thank you, Secretary General, for arranging this conference on transforming NATO. It is a solid evidence of your strong commitment to develop our alliance. And let me add that the challenge of transforming NATO as well as our armed forces is something that Denmark takes very seriously. By transforming our armed forces, we get better value for our money. We will hereby be able to deploy more troops to international operations. Today, Denmark has deployed more than 1,000 troops on international operations, primarily in Kosovo, Afghanistan, and Iraq. And that should be compared to the size of my country. It is approximately 5 million people. So I think today we already carry out a fair share of the burden, but we intend to do more. By transforming our armed forces, we will be able to double our capacity to participate in international operations from 1,000 troops to 2,000 troops out in the theater at any time, and in a short period for 6 months, we will be able to deploy up to 4,500 troops. This increase will be implemented gradually during the next 5 years. We strive to have available, sustainable, flexible, well-equipped, and well-trained troops, troops that are able to participate in both high-intensity operations under different difficult conditions, but also in operations with less intensity. Now, the big challenge is the fact that it will be done within the existing level of the defense budget. How can we get more defense for the same money, you might ask? This I will try to answer during my short presentation here today. Let me go back to the early 80s. At that time, I was undergoing reserve officers training. Back then, we were taught to defend Denmark against a large-scale invasion from the Warsaw Pact. Today's threat comes primarily from international terrorism, from failed states, and from proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. The new threats are global, but their implications are also local. And what does this mean for NATO and its members? With new and different threats, NATO and its members need to respond in a different way. The alliance and its members must transform to remain relevant. The aim for the alliance must therefore be to develop the necessary sustainable, deployable, and usable forces and capabilities for out-of-area scenarios. This requires a broad transformation of our armed forces. How does NATO ensure that the necessary transformation takes place? NATO's usability initiative can play a very central role in the transformation process. One of the elements in the usability initiative is that the member states should establish national usability targets. The Danish Prime Minister did exactly that. He declared a national ambition of being able to have up to 2,000 troops deployed for international operations at any time. On this basis, transformation plans required to meet this target were developed. In this way, a national usability target was used as a catalyst for transformation in Denmark. The doubling of our capacity for continued deployment of personnel will bring Denmark well above the 48% NATO usability target for land forces. In fact, I think we will reach the level of 60% and 10%. The development of a national level of ambition for international operations was not only essential to our detailed structural planning. Perhaps more important, it was also the key to public and political support for the transformation process. This illustrates how usability can be applied in a positive and constructive fashion. Then you might ask if the increase in numbers of soldiers for international deployment was the only achievement in our new defense agreement. No, we'll try to do more than that. Under the new agreement, we will, in the coming 5 years, increase our investments in equipment and military capabilities. We aim at an improved usability of our forces by developing self-sustained capabilities. A Danish contribution to an international operation will therefore not only consist of combat units, but also include the necessary support units and logistics. With regard to means of deploying our forces, I would like to highlight our sea lift capability. The armed forces have two roll-on, roll-off ships on a permanent commercial hire for this purpose. This is the so-called ARC project and a Danish contribution to the NATO PCC initiative. The ships are already sailing and they have been assigned to the NATO response force. Now, how have we been able to do this within the same budget? The answer is tough choices allowing a transformation of historic dimensions. First of all, we decided to fully abandon the large-scale mobilization force structure dedicated for territorial defense. Secondly, we had to prioritize between our military capabilities. Consequently, we decided to abolish the submarine force, the ground-based air defense, and the multiple launch rocket system. Furthermore, we have decided to slim our staff and support structure to free funding for operation capabilities. We did so with a view to what NATO needed and what was most required for international operations. In the preparation of our new defense agreement, we consulted with NATO both on the political and military level. The Secretary General visited Denmark just after I took office about a year ago, and the advice from NATO was a guiding tool in our decision-making on the future structure of our armed forces. Another important aim of the new defense agreement is to strengthen the homeland security. For this purpose, we have decided to maintain conscription, but in a very changed form. Under the new model, the conscripts will undergo 4 months of basic training. When basic training is completed, the conscripts will return to their civilian life, but in the following 3 years, they may be recalled for total defense tasks if necessary. However, after the 4 months of basic training, a conscript can also choose to continue in the armed forces. At that time, he will, of course, not be a fully trained soldier. But if he chooses to stay, he will receive 8 or 9 months of additional military training, and hereafter he can be deployed to an international operation for up to 6 months. Keeping conscription will thereby strengthen the possibility of the armed forces to recruit soldiers for international operations. Maintaining conscription ensures that the armed forces will continue to be deeply rooted in the society. Conscription ensures that men from all groups in the society join the armed forces. This should foster a better public understanding and a more positive attitude towards the armed forces. And let me add that we need a quarter of an age group as conscripts to make this system work. Transformation is not only about transforming our capabilities. Transformation is also about changing our concepts, our policies, and our procedures. To put it briefly, it is about changing our way of thinking. It is common knowledge that you may be able to win a war with military means, but you can certainly not win the peace with military means alone. We need to overcome what one could call the stabilization and reconstruction gap. In Denmark, we have therefore changing the way we are looking upon international operations. To this, we have introduced a new concept in our defense agreement, concerted planning and action of civil and military activities, for short, CPA. CPA is not the same as the military term CIMIC. CIMIC addresses civilian military cooperation in the field in support of a military operation. CPA is wider in its approach. CPA is about coordination of all civilian including political, economical, legal elements and military efforts during all phases of an operation, and not only in the operation area, but also in the capital. This will ensure that the maximum effect of the resources we allocate to the specific area. And speaking about coordination of civilian and military activities, some might ask if military forces should take over humanitarian and reconstruction efforts in areas of operations. No, they should not. Humanitarian efforts and reconstruction of civilian societies are not and will never be core military tasks. This is the role of civilian organizations. They have the experience and expertise in these demanding and important areas. However, there can be situations where the lack of security makes it difficult for civilian organizations to operate in an area. The most recent example is Iraq. Here our armed forces has carried out civilian projects on behalf of the Danish Ministry of Foreign Affairs. These projects range from repairing water supplies to modernization of a local hospital. We have had many positive experiences with our CPA initiative. We believe the initiative is worth presenting to a wider international audience and that it could contribute to overcoming the stabilization and reconstruction gap and hereby help shortening the period where there is a need for military presence in a former crisis area. And therefore, Denmark is hosting a NATO seminar on the CPA issues on the 20th and 21st of June this year in Copenhagen. It is our hope that this seminar will be valuable input to the discussion also in NATO on this issue. I think it is fair to say that both nations and NATO needs to develop the thinking of CPA issues. CPA is a good example of the need to change the way we are thinking. But it is not only NATO members that need to transform. Also, NATO itself and its organization must transform. And we therefore strongly support you, Mr. Secretary General, in this endeavor as we support your work for further strengthening political dialogue within the alliance. A final issue to mention when it comes to reform NATO is the common funding. The present cost shares are increasingly unfair, and I think it acts as a barrier to a NATO transformation. So, Secretary General, I wish you all the luck you need to change this system.
Thank you very much.
Secretary General, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, this was, in short, the main aspects of our transformation process. I'm sure there are many other ways to go into the transformation process, and every country has to choose its own way to do so. NATO has transformed in the recent years. NATO Response Force is a very good example, and rest assured that Denmark will do its best to support the continued transformation. Thank you.